There are many things in this life that we call art, and sometimes we don't really understand why things touch us so deeply. We don't need to understand the intricacies of color, light and shade, and the numerous painting techniques to be able to appreciate art, and that's why art is truly for everyone. In today's episode, we're going to talk about one of the less talked about artists. I mean, you all know Picasso, Rembrandt, Monet, Da Vinci, and other famous artists. But how many of you know of one of the shining stars of the 20th century art scene? In today's Word Power episode, we're going to talk about the art of Horace Pippin. You might have heard of him, you might not, but don't worry, we're going to talk about it in today's episode. This is your host, Danny, and this is a new episode from English Plus Podcast. Before we start, let me remind you that you can practice what you're about to learn in this episode on my website, EnglishPlusPodcast.com. There's a link in the show notes that will take you to the post I created specifically for this episode. You will find many different ways and exercises, obviously, you can use to practice and master the words we're about to learn in the context of the art of Horace Pippin. For those of you who love digital activities and you don't have the time or means to print out worksheets, I got you covered. You will find interactive activities on the website that you can do on your computers, phones, or any device you use. And for those of you who love doing exercises on paper, there's the PDF practice worksheet that you can download, print out, and practice with the different fun activities I created for this episode. Don't miss out on this opportunity to make the words you're going to learn today part of your permanent active vocabulary bank. And now, without further ado, let's start today's Word Power episode, The Art of Horace Pippin. But before we do that, let me tell you about the 10 words we're going to learn in context today. Our words for today are implausible, confrontation, scrupulous, apogee, culling, vignette, suffuse, primitive, transient, and exalt. Are you interested? Of course you are! And you're also interested in learning more about the art of Horace Pippin. So, let's do it! Let's kick off today's episode by talking about the art of Horace Pippin. During the 1930s, it was unlikely that a middle-aged African-American from a small town in Pennsylvania would achieve success as a painter. Add to this the fact that the man had never studied art, had earned his living as a hotel porter and used clothes peddler, and had all but lost the use of his right arm. Horace Pippin had one of the most implausible careers in the history of 20th century art. Born into a family just one generation removed from slavery, Pippin joined the army in 1917 at the age of 29. While fighting with the celebrated 369th Colored Infantry Regiment in France, he was shot by a sniper. As therapy for his injured arm, he started decorating discarded cigar boxes, whittling picture frames, and burning images on wood panels with a hot poker. It wasn't until 1930 that he tried oil painting for the first time, propping up his right arm with his left hand. The subject of Horace Pippin's earliest paintings is World War I. The somber palette and emphasis on weapons and confrontation suggest that he was summarizing his response to the devastation of modern warfare rather than evoking specific memories of combat. What is most interesting about these early efforts is the three-dimensional effect of hundreds of layers of paint. Although Pippin subsequently abandoned such heavy layering, he continued to rely on scrupulously textured pigment, especially for foliage, textiles, and atmospheric effects. Pippin's representations of African-American life are considered to be the apogee of his achievements as a painter who was attentive to popular culture. Culling images from magazines, films, and illustrated calendars, he committed vignettes of family life and seasonal activities to wood panels from doors, tables, or furniture cases. Often the varnish of the original surface provided the principal coloring. A humble charm suffuses these memorable scenes, alive with detail down to each lacy edge of a doily and every braid of a rag rug. In 1937, Horace Pippin's paintings came to the attention of an art critic who encouraged him to contribute several works to an art show outside of Philadelphia. His paintings were so well received that he was asked to participate in the Museum of Modern Art's traveling exhibition of so-called naive or primitive art. For a time, Pippin was more famous than Grandma Moses, with tributes from coast to coast and works reproduced in all the major magazines. Unfortunately, his fame was transient. He died in 1946, having completed 140 paintings, drawings, and wood panels. In his short but extraordinary career, this self-taught painter exalted the commonplace and commemorated his unique vision of history, nature, and people. So, that was about the art of Horace Pippin. I hope you learned something new about this extraordinary artist that not a lot of people talk about. But for those of you who already know Horace Pippin, I hope you learned something new. But anyway, we're going to learn 10 words in the context of our story, so there's benefit for everybody who's listening, I hope. And remember, again, our words are implausible, confrontation, scrupulous, apogee, culling, vignette, suffuse, primitive, transient, and exalt. That's coming next. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. So let us start with the very first word, implausible. I-M-P-L-A-U-S-I-B-L-E. Implausible. First, let's take a look at how we use it in context, and then, of course, as usual, I'm going to ask you a question, give you four options, and give you some time to think and choose the answer you think is correct, and then I'm going to talk more about the meaning of this word. So, let's start with implausible. First, how did we use that in context? We said Horace Pippin had one of the most implausible careers in the history of 20th century art. Now, which word or words could best replace implausible in this context? Can we say not noticeable, difficult to believe, unwise, or irritating? So, not noticeable, difficult to believe, unwise, or irritating. Which one do you think is the best to replace implausible in this context? Think about it, and I'll be right back with the answer. Now, for those of you who thought difficult to believe, you're absolutely right, because that is the answer. If you describe something as implausible, you believe that it is unlikely to be true. It's like improbable, incredible. And it was actually incredible. It was implausible with all the situations I told you about. I mean, the man was not trained. He kind of lost the use of his right arm. And of course, his background at the time, with all the circumstances you're very well aware of, his success as an artist was implausible. So, difficult to believe. Incredible. And that was our first word for today's episode. And of course, as you know, we have 10 words, so we have 9 words to go. The next word is confrontation. C-O-N-F-R-O-N-T-A-T-I-O-N. Confrontation. Let's take a look at how we use that in context, and then I will ask you the question. The subject of Horace Pippin's earliest paintings is World War I. The somber palette and emphasis on weapons and confrontation suggest that he was summarizing his response to the devastation of modern warfare rather than evoking specific memories of combat. So, confrontation, in this context, can best be described as what? As a moral obligation? As an amendment to a contract? As a conflict? Or as a hopeless maneuver? Think about it, and I'll be right back with the answer and some more explanation. For those of you who thought conflict, you're absolutely right, because that is what confrontation means, especially in this context. A confrontation is a dispute, fight, or battle between two groups of people. So it is conflict, fight, crisis, or contest, or something like that. And that is our second word for today, confrontation. And that's not all. We still have the next word, scrupulous. How do we spell this word? It's S-C-R-U-P-U-L-O-U-S. scrupulous. Let's take a look at how we use that in context. We said, although Pippin subsequently abandoned such heavy layering, he continued to rely on scrupulously textured pigment, especially for foliage, textiles, and atmospheric effects. So, scrupulous. When we talk about scrupulous, and here, of course, we use it as an adverb, but the meaning is the same. So, think about it. Which word or words could best replace scrupulously in this context? Can we say conscientiously and exactly, dutifully, temporarily, or physically? So, which word or words do you think could best replace scrupulously in this context? Think about it, and I'll be right back with the answer. Now, for those of you who thought conscientiously and exactly, you're absolutely right. That is the answer. So, scrupulous, what does it mean? It means thorough, exact, and careful about details. That's the meaning of scrupulous. Now, of course, it has other meanings. You might have heard of the word in different contexts, which means something that has to do with how moral a person can be. Scrupulous being moral, unscrupulous being immoral. And that's right. But here, we're talking about it in a different context. And in our context here, we're talking about something that is done thoroughly, exactly, and very carefully about every single detail of the work. And if you remember in our context, we said unscrupulously textured pigment. So we're talking about something that has a lot of attention to detail, something that is done rigorously. All right? That was our word. And that is one very nice word that you can add to your active vocabulary bank. So just do it. And remember, you can always go to my website. The link is in the show notes so that you can practice these words and make sure you will never forget them. But anyway, let's move on and continue to the very next word. And this word is apogee. A-P-O-G-E-E. Apogee. How do we use that in context? We said Pippin's representations of African-American life are considered to be the apogee of his achievements as a painter who was attentive to popular culture. We're talking about the apogee of his achievements. An apogee can be best described as what? As an unrealistic expectation, as a high point, as a crucial circumstance, or as a lifelike portrayal. Which one do you think is the right answer? Which one can best describe the word apogee? Think about it, and I'll be right back with the answer. Now, for those of you who thought high point is the answer, you're absolutely right. The apogee of something, such as a culture or a business, is its highest or its greatest point. And here we're talking about the apogee of his achievements as a painter. We're talking about the top of his achievement, the highest point of his achievements. And that is our new word, apogee. And that's not everything. We still have more words, so don't go anywhere. Our next word is culling. C-U-L-L-I-N-G. And it comes from cull, which is the verb, actually, C-U-L-L. Let's take a look at how we use that in context. We said, culling images from magazines, films, and illustrated calendars, he committed vignettes of family life and seasonal activities to wood panels from doors, tables, or furniture cases. Here, we have the word culling. Which word could best replace culling in this context? Can we say selecting, discarding, building, or ignoring? Think about it, and I'll be right back with the answer. Now, for those of you who thought selecting is the best word to replace culling in this context, you're absolutely right. Now, if items or ideas are culled from a particular source, remember, cull is a verb, so cull, culled, culling, it's the same thing, right? So, if items or ideas are culled from a particular source or number of sources, they are taken and gathered together. They are selected, collected, gathered, amassed, if you will. So, that's the meaning of culling. And in the very same context, we also used another word that is one of the keywords we're going to talk about today, and this word is vignette. Now, how do we spell this word? It's a little bit difficult to spell, so pay attention to its spelling. It's V-I-G-N-E-T-T-E. So V-I-G-N-E-T-T-E, vignette. Let's remember again how we use that word in context. We said culling images From magazines, films, and illustrated calendars, he committed vignettes of family life and seasonal activities to wood panels from doors, tables, or furniture cases. So, vignettes. A vignette can be best described as what? As an insult? As an alternative to painting? As a formal portrait? Or as a short scene or incident? Which one do you think is the right answer? Think about it, and I'll be right back with the answer very shortly. Now, for those of you who thought short scene or incident, you're absolutely right, because that is what vignette is all about. A vignette is a short description, picture, or piece of acting which expresses very clearly and neatly the typical characteristics of the thing that it represents. So it's a very good representation in a very short scenario, scene, or sketch, or painting, of course. So that is the vignette. And remember how we used it? We said he committed vignettes of family life and seasonal activities. Not long epics, no, vignettes. Very short sketches. Now for him, of course, we're talking about pictures and scenes, right? So that is our word vignette. We still have four words to go, so don't go anywhere. We'll start with the very next word, suffuse. That is S-U-F-F-U-S-E. How do we use that in context? We said a humble charm suffuses these memorable scenes alive with detail down to each lacy edge of a doily and every braid of a rag rug. So my question to you is, which word or words could best replace suffuses in this context? Can we use ruins, reverses, spreads through, or reduces in intensity? Think about it, and I'll be right back with the answer. Now, for those of you who thought spreads through, you're absolutely right, because that is the meaning of suffuse in this context. Now, if something, especially a color or feeling, suffuses a person or thing, it gradually spreads over or through them. Now, in a different sense, if something such as a book, film, or a piece of music is suffused with a quality, it is full of that quality because that thing spreads through the entirety of it. All right? That's the meaning of suffuse. A very useful word to talk about deep things, especially when it comes to art or movies and books or anything else for that matter. But anyway, that was our word suffuse. And the next word we're going to talk about is primitive. P-R-I-M-I-T-I-V-E, primitive. How do we use that in context? We said his paintings were so well received that he was asked to participate in the Museum of Modern Art's traveling exhibition of so-called naive or primitive art. So, we have primitive in this context. Which word or words could best replace primitive in this context? Can we replace primitive with happening regularly, suitable, simple and unsophisticated, or complex and sophisticated? Which one do you think is the best to replace primitive in this context? Think about it, and I'll be right back with the answer. Now, for those of you who thought simple and unsophisticated, you're absolutely right. That's the meaning of primitive. If you describe something as primitive, you mean that it is very simple in style, or sometimes we can use that to talk about something that is very old-fashioned. But that doesn't have to be a negative word. Now, sometimes simple things are simply the best. But anyway, that was our word primitive, and now for our last two words for today's episode, transient and exalt. Let's start with transient. How do we spell this word? Transient is spelled T-R-A-N-S-I-E-N-T, transient. How do we use that in context? We said, unfortunately, his fame, and here, of course, we're talking about Horace Pippin, his fame was transient. He died in 1946, having completed 140 paintings, drawings, and wood panels. So something that is transient can best be described as what? As extraordinary, as of brief duration, as intensely felt, or as unexpected? Which one do you think is the right answer? Think about it, and I'll be right back with the answer very soon. Don't go anywhere. Now, for those of you who thought of brief duration, you're absolutely right. That is the answer. Transient is used to describe a situation that lasts only a short time, or we can use that sometimes to talk about something that is constantly changing. Now, of course, in our context, it means something that lasts only a short time because the man died early. He died in 1946. He could have had a longer career. He could have been celebrated for a lot more time in his lifetime, of course, but his fame was transient. Not because he did something wrong, not because he was not good anymore, but because he died in 1946. So transient in this context, we're talking about something brief, short-term, or temporary. So that is our word transient. Now for our very last word for today's episode, it is exalt. E-X-A-L-T, exalt. How do we use that in context? We said in his short but extraordinary career, this self-taught painter exalted the commonplace and commemorated his unique vision of history, nature, and people. So which word or words do you think could best replace exalted in this context? Can we use elevated, substituted, developed gradually, or concealed? What do you think is the best word to replace exalted in this context? Think about it, and I'll be right back with the final answer for today's episode, so don't go anywhere. Now, for those of you who thought elevated is the answer, you're absolutely right, because that is one word we can use to replace exalted in this context. To exalt someone or something means to praise them very highly. It's like praise, tribute, or worship. And here, when we say the painter exalted the commonplace, that means elevated the commonplace to a better position, to a high position. And that happened. Why? Because he praised them very highly. He exalted these things. And that was our last word for today's episode. Remember, we talked about implausible. We talked about confrontation. Scrupulous, apogee, culling, vignette, suffuse, primitive, transient, and finally exalt. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. I hope you learned something useful today, both in the story itself, the art of Horace Pippin, and in the words that we learned in context. And don't forget, if you want to take it a step further, and you should, to be honest, if you really want to keep these words as part of your active vocabulary bank, you should practice these words. And I got you covered. For those of you who like the digital version, you like to do things on your mobile phone or on your computers, there are interactive activities you can do on the website without having to write on paper. And for those of you who like pen and paper, there's also a PDF practice worksheet that you can download, print out, and practice to your heart's content. All of these are available on the special post I created for this episode. The link in the show notes will take you there, and there you can practice and make sure that you add these words to your permanent active vocabulary bank. Don't forget, never stop learning with English Plus and with me, your host, Danny. Thank you very much for listening to another episode from English Plus Podcast. I will see you next time.